CeeLo Productions presents Backstage Access. I'm your co-host, Scott Lowe.
And I'm your co-host, Tony Gonzalez.
And in this podcast, we discuss all things in the world of Christian music and entertainment. All right. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Backstage Access. This week, it is a true honor to have our guest here with us, a legend, a pioneer in Christian metal. We have Les Carlson of Bloodgood. Les, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Scott and Tony.
Hey, Les.
How are you guys?
We are awesome now.
Yeah. All right.
Such an honor to have you on here. I mean, just, we're both stoked about this. And just, we thank you so much for taking, I can imagine your schedule is just crazy busy and just, you know, taking time out to talk with us. We're just so thankful.
Yeah, it's crazy busy, but it's really great to stop and talk to the brothers that are doing what you're doing. So
thank you.
Thank you so much.
That you're doing it. I'm glad that, that you've got this thing up and running, and I'm really honored to be a part of it. So,
Thank you.
So, you know, I was the lead singer in Bloodgood and did a lot of music with Bloodgood, and my best buddy, Michael, who is now home with Jesus, as you know.
Yes.
I just don't do Bloodgood anymore. I perform Bloodgood songs when I'm live, and I do my new original stuff from my solo album.
Okay.
It's coming, the title of that, but, I still do some classic Bloodgood because that's how we got started and it's a ministry, you know, that has to do with our faith and the truth that Christ is, you know, God in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who he was. So, yeah, so we're all about Jesus. We got all my eggs in one basket when it comes to Jesus, okay?
Amen.
Yep. I don't have any other kinds of religions or any kind of twists and turns. Because all things are here because of him. And that's why Bloodgood was first founded. We wanted to just share our faith to people that didn't know the truth.
Absolutely.
So there. So good night, everybody. Thank you. It was great to be
here. Yeah. So I'm familiar with Bloodgood and your guys' music and everything. And, I've watched you with your solo career and, you know, you performing at the Loud and Proud Festival. But what's your personal testimony?
My personal testimony?
Yeah.
It was before, right around 1984. I think, my wife and I, Joyce, we had met in the Broadway musical Hair.
Oh, wow.
Back in 70 and 71 and 72. And so we were both actors and singers and dancers. And we met in that show, which was not obviously was not a Christian play. And we were not believers at the time. So after we'd been in that show for a couple of years, then we started a club act up in the Northwest in Seattle. And we were there for, maybe 10 or 12 years. And then we hired this one guy one time to come in and play keyboards and guitar for us. We'd never heard of him before, and his ability was like, wow, he's really good. And why don't we know this guy? Cause we know everybody, you know, in Seattle. And, it was because he was a Christian and he was never in that club genre at all, but just him being in the band, and whatever he had, I thought, gosh, I want what this guy has. Okay. So we're working nightclubs, right?
Right.
And we're really, you know, we were really packing the nightclubs, Joyce and I. Mm-hmm. Had a phenomenal show that we did, and clubs were a big thing then. And so, we were just doing great, and we were quite popular. Anyway, Don Garberg, we hired him, and he was in the band. I thought, man, this guy, he's cool, and there's something different about him. And I don't know what it is, but, I like him. And so back then we used to do those, you know, this little, we'd do a little bit of drugs on the break, you know, like smoking weed and stuff. Mm-hmm. We're doing cocaine, and that was quite normal, you know, in the rock scene. And that right. was not anything that the world thought was strange.
Right.
As a matter of fact, they thought you were strange if you weren't doing it. I think that's
right.
it.
Yeah.
And Peter says, why do you guys think it's so weird? You know, we don't join in with you anymore. Well, it's because we found Jesus. That's why, bro.
Right.
But anyway, so I would say to Don, so, okay, Don, you want to go smoke some weed on the break? And he'd go, oh, no, you go ahead. But, you know, I'm like, okay, that's weird. Anyway, so one time I went to him and I said, hey, man, what's with you anyway? He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, I don't know. You're just not like anybody I've ever met before. And he said, well, I have a relationship with Jesus. And I went, oh, I did the Michael Jackson moonwalk. You know, probably not as graceful. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. Well, that's cool. And I thought, yeah, okay, well, you know, I'm not going to bring that up anymore. And then I thought, wow, why did I react that way mm-hmm. to just this guy who was just, you know, an amazing person. Right. And he mentioned Jesus, and my spirit just backed up. It's like, oh no. And I thought, wait a minute. There's some power in this Jesus. There's something true about this Jesus.
Yes.
So I asked Don, I said, give me what can you tell me? He said, I've got a book called More Than a Carpenter. Why don't you read this and then let me know what you think? Well, my wife was in the band, you know, at the same time, and she was kind of thinking the same thing. She also, through Don's witness, was being drawn to something, right?
Right.
And so she found out that it was, you know, that he was following Jesus, and I was hiding that from her, and she was hiding it from me, because we both thought, well, that'd be about the dumbest thing in the world we could do, is become Christians. I mean, we'd be out of the gig.
Right. You know?
So eventually it worked out that we had to face the reality that we were both falling in love with Christ.
Amen.
And so we asked Don what we should do, and he said, well, you know, you should just ask him into your heart, ask him to be your Lord. And so we did, and it was one day in the afternoon, because we'd sleep until about 12 or 1, because we'd be up till 4 in the morning
yeah.
from the clubs. And we got down on our knees and asked Jesus into our heart, and we both wept like babies and looked at each other and thought, wow, when I looked at her, she was a different person. And she looked at me and saw me as a different person. And we were so excited. And I went to a Bible bookstore and bought 2 Bibles, one for her and one for me. And we started reading those Bibles every night after work. And then we go to bed, and then we wake up, and we would read the Bible all day long until we had to go back to the nightclub and go to work again. Wow. So keep in mind, we had not gone to a church. This was a guy that was obedient, came in and played in a bar band. Mm-hmm. Everybody in his church said, dude, you're doing the wrong thing. He goes, no, I really feel God told me to do this. Mm. Well, I'm glad he did.
Yes.
Because I never would have been in Bloodgood. And that ministry, I wouldn't have been a part of it. It may have well been there without me, but mm-hmm. that's not how it happened. It happened that, you know, Mike and I got together, and JT was there in the beginning, and then David came along, and it was just, but if you want to know how it really happened, watch the movie, Trenches of Rock.
We did.
yep, we did.
Yeah. So you kind of know there. But anyway, I just was head over heels for Jesus, and he changed Amen. My life. Amen. I was radically born again, and I realized that all my dreams and my goals to be a rock star, I really didn't care about it anymore. I really didn't. I was just like, yeah, well, whatever. That's such a wrong direction. My direction now is I don't care what I do. I just want to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. And I ended up gracefully, you know, the band dissolved gracefully. because I didn't want to be one of those Christians that went, well, now I'm a Christian, so you guys are sinners and I can't hang out with you, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do that. And I feel that that was God's wisdom in my life rather quick and rather early. And so what we did is we prayed. And lo and behold, each one of the band members began to get these great gigs, you know, recording gigs and other offers. And so the band sort of dissolves, but that's what we wanted anyway, because we had realized being in a nightclub, making a living there is probably not what we want to do.
Right.
So, but that was our entire livelihood. I mean, we made great money. So anyway, the band dissolved and I ended up, Joyce and I actually went to a church and the pastor said, without anybody looking around and heads bowed, you know, just, you know, raise your hand and let me know that you'd like to accept Jesus. Well, we both stood up and said, Bible says that if you have a lamp, you don't put it under the table, you put it on top. And we just want to proclaim publicly that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh and he is our Lord.
Amen.
And they were like, okay, you know too much, but yeah, but it was awesome. It was really awesome. And that's how we got saved. I mean, we basically were not influenced in any way, shape, or form other than by God's word and his Holy Spirit in us in the first month to 6 weeks that we became saved.
Wow.
So.
Amen.
Kind of a different sort of a testimony. And then I was, you know, my son at the time was totally into heavy metal. Him and I were 16 years apart because my first marriage, my wife was 16. And obviously we had to get married, but I was 16 when I married her because she was pregnant. And so I had a son that was 16 years younger than me. And then he had lived with Joyce and I after I met Joyce. And so I was such a rascal. But anyway, he had been raised by two heathens, you know, or three actually. He ended up going to a Stryper Bloodgood concert.
Wow.
And got saved. And Timothy Gaines led him to the Lord.
Nice.
So this is how it all began. And, yeah, I mean, we have at least we have a calling in our lives as performers or people that have gifts in that regard that love Jesus to kind of share our faith through our art, through our music and our lyrics. And that's what we did and still doing it and quite happy.
That is amazing. And, you know, one of the things I loved that you shared was, you know, talking about, you know, your friend who, you know, your bandmate who was a Christian, and you had talked to him about, you know, drugs, and, you know, so he knew what you guys were into, and he was never, you know, he was just, no, that, you know, that's okay, you go do that, you know, that's not my thing. He never, but was so judgmental and condemning and just over the top with it. You know, he still accepted you guys for you, and I think had he have been that judgmental Christian to say, wow, I can't believe you would do that, and, you know, and just really rip into you guys, I don't know, I don't think you would have had that same experience. And I love that he shared that.
Yeah. I think he acknowledged that he had a, you know, his calling and you know, Lord led him, you know, to you guys for a reason.
He didn't lay down the conditions first. He didn't come and say, okay, I'll take the job, and I'm a Christian. I don't do this, this, and this. I'm not going to do, you know, he didn't do that. But you know what? The man had enough wisdom to know better.
Right.
And he knew the value of Les and Joyce in Jesus' eyes. And he understood the value of people that God has called. And he just was there as a representative, and he came on like Christ instead of like some religious zealot that was thinking he was going to, you know, chalk up some salvations for the Lord.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, that's so awesome. That's so awesome.
And I think that that's obviously a good lesson for any of us, that really, Jesus himself said, I don't say anything unless I hear it from the Father. Hmm. So when we go out to be a light in the darkness, wait on him to speak. Right. Sometimes he doesn't want you to speak. Sometimes he wants you to do something kind, mm-hmm. something thoughtful, something caring, you know,
yeah.
and wait for his words, because it's not, you know, it's his battle, right. you know,
right.
and, yeah. But he does use us, and we need to listen. But because here's what's happening with a lot of people that become, you know, they're in the world and then they become Christians. Well, the world has a whole system of thought. And we're conditioned to think that way
right.
until we meet him. And then we realize that he's coming from a whole different kingdom with a whole set of standards that are way different.
Right.
And so he transforms us gradually from worldly thinking into godly thinking.
Absolutely.
Instead of being self-conscious, we become God-conscious. Mm. And then that's, and there's, you know, it's a transformative thing that takes time. And so that's what happens. So when we try to reach people for Christ, remember that everywhere you go is holy ground.
Right.
But, you know, also don't put yourself in a position where you're not strong enough to handle whatever is around you that is not of God, you know?
Right.
Absolutely. And, so, you know, you got an opportunity.
John did that.
Yeah. And, you know, and you, you know, watching your movie, your documentary, I remember hearing that story where, you know, you kind of showed, you know, at one of the concerts they were talking about in, I believe it was Germany, where you guys were performing and there was, you know, there was someone in the crowd and he was yelling F Jesus and mm-hmm. people in the crowd turned on him and started to attack him. And, as the story goes that Michael had shared in the documentary is, you know, you jumped off the stage and you covered him and you told the crowd, you know, leave him alone. You know, which, you know, obviously, had to have just been a totally, just total chaos. You know, but that's what we're called to do. We're not called to act like the world. We're not called to, you know, we're called to love people. And you in that moment, you know, you could have easily said, oh, well, you know, he deserves it because he's saying this about Jesus and, you know, he's this and he's that, you know, but you took that opportunity to be Christ in the room and just let that spirit take over and to protect him and tell everyone, hey, leave him alone. You know, this isn't, you know, I don't know how the conversation went, but I would imagine, you know, in your head, you're sitting here, you know, trying to tell people, this isn't right. This isn't what we're called to do. We're called to love people. We're called to serve people. This isn't, right. this isn't the Jesus that we want people to know.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it, you know, that is one of those times it was very spirit led and obviously the Lord just told me to do it and I did it. So that's how that works. And here we are talking about it all these years later.
Yeah.
Right.
So
right.
again, you know, Jesus, man, he scores heavy.
Right.
And everything he wants to do and everything he wants to accomplish
yeah.
is absolutely capable. And so, yeah, that was a moment that changed people's lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could only imagine.
Right, right. You know, when we were watching your documentary, I mean, we were both just so blown away. I mean, with just, you know, your guys' careers is just amazing what you've guys accomplished. It was just, I was so blown away. I was like, wow, these guys are amazing, you know? And, cause I'm an 80s kid. I grew up in the 80s and I always gravitate hard rock, heavy metal. That's what I was kind of born into. So I was one of those 1986, you know, the whole hair bands going on and down on the Sunset Strip in LA. And I was loving all of that, you know? So, and, wow. I mean, I just really have to say, Les, you guys, I mean, the whole band, all of you are just amazing, talented, very talented musicians. And I am just, I was blown away.
Wow.
I really was. I wish I could remember the one, album I was listening to, but you guys were live in Sacramento and it was really cool because one of you guys, and I don't know what, maybe it was you talking about one of the band members had like local family around there in the Napa Valley in Sacramento, and you were naming off all these places. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is my hometown area. You know, I was like, that is so cool.
I think it was Michael.
Oh, he was?
Uncle.
Okay.
In San Mateo and somebody in Oakland and somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And back in the 80s there, that was really such a controversial, well, you saw it in the movie, I mean.
Right.
So I think it was the warehouse in Sacramento that we were at, and it was a church where they knew that the spirit was moving in metal. And so they brought us in, and yeah, it was packed, and we were doing songs from the first album, I believe, and maybe the second as well. And I know definitely it was the first Blood Good album, Killing the Beast and Soldier of Peace and Accept the Lamb and all that, you know, just all that stuff. So
right. Wow. Just incredible material. I mean, really just blown away. I love your guys' sound. I really do. Yeah. So this brings the question. Yeah, cool. Where is your influences from? I mean,
yes, well, the influence, the strong, heavy influence was Beatles.
Really?
Rolling Stones, and then rhythm and blues. And because I was raised in the late 60s, early 70s in rock.
Okay.
And Michael was a total Beatle freak also.
Really? Nice.
And but then... You know, now we're like in a heavy metal band. So I'm like, okay, well, I've been doing pop music all that time. And I never really listened to metal. Mm-hmm. And then when we got Blood Good together, because my son was into metal, that's who I wanted to, you know, I wanted to get in that genre. This is after I got saved.
Okay.
And so I met with Michael and JT at a coffee shop in Seattle. That's in the movie. And, I just told them I want to do, you know, just want to do songs about Jesus. Right. And if they throw rocks at us, well, that's fine. We're still going to do it. Otherwise, I got no reason to sing it anymore.
Right.
And they said, well, then let's learn, just because we don't have any of our own songs. Let's learn a song by Ronnie James Dio. And I think it was Holy Diver or something. I'm not really sure. I don't really remember which one it was. But I listened to this singer and I went, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. I'm, you know, so I kind of copped, you know, his style and understood that, well, now metal requires, you know, really gutsy and really, you know, it's different than pop. And then you got to have some high screams and blah, 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 you know. So,
right.
So we did this one song, and after the song, we just stood there and looked at each other and said, yeah, we could do this, you know.
Right.
So then we said, okay, well, let's get together on Tuesday nights, and before we pick up our guitars, we will spend time in the Word together, and we will pray together.
Wow.
And we'll ask God to give us songs for our band.
Wow.
And within a couple of months, we had 10 songs or 12 songs that we had written, and we wouldn't start writing until after we'd prayed and read the Word together and shared our lives.
That's awesome.
And then we'd say, okay, we're ready to do the music. And God honored the process, obviously.
Right.
And so we, you know, that first album was pretty amazing, actually.
Right.
And the second album was even more crazy, amazing. and then we did we went and did a shift into Rock and a Hard Place because we're seasoned musicians and we wanted to be a little bit more melodic. And well, we were always melodic, but you know, I think that at that time there were groups like Whitesnake. Is that the group? Yeah, Whitesnake.
Yep.
It had some. It was sort of a. It was the hair metal band that had sort of evolved into more of a melodic mainstream or whatever.
Yeah.
So we ended up doing Rock and Hard Place, and then we got a people really loved that as well. But then there was a faction that that was like, oh, we like the, you know, Detonation and all that. And at the time, David had to stop touring because of his family. And he was, we were on the road for so long, and David was not always able to take his wife and babies and stuff. So he opted to do some solo albums, and it left Michael and I. And so Mike and I said, well, okay, we're going to do this other album, and let's just go back to, you know, what we were doing before, do a more heavy thing. And I think we, yeah, we wrote a lot of stuff like America and Top of the Mountain came off that album. And, oh gosh, Let My People Go. You know, there, it was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool album, but David wasn't on that. And Paul Jackson had come in and played.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In that album, and Kevin Whistler, because also Mark left too. So it was just Mike and I. And wow. And we did Out of the Darkness, and that was received really well. And yeah. And then, you know, we did a lot of touring in Germany, and you saw the response in Germany to Blood Good. It was pretty amazing. In the movie, you saw that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And it seems even now, Germany is still really, really into Christian rock and Christian metal music. You know, we've had Matt from Spoken. We've had him on the podcast. We've had Josh from The Protest on here. And they both just rave about how just the crowd in Germany and just how really into Christian metal they are.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah,
well, Europeans in general are way different than American audiences.
Oh, yeah. That's what they were talking about, too.
In America, everybody's got an attitude, I guess. But in Europe, they accepted us as just a regular band.
That's awesome.
So when we were there, we were on the radio. You know, it was like, wow.
Nice.
The crowds were amazing, and they loved us. And you get there, and they're singing all the verses and all the choruses.
Wow.
And, I mean, they know all your material because they learn English that way.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, of course, they learn English anyway because it's the, you know, it's the, I guess it's the main language in the world at this point. But
right.
But anyway, it was great. And we just kept coming back to Germany and Sweden and Norway, and we played in the in Holland, and we were quite popular.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue, you know, that you guys, I mean, you were one of the biggest, if not the biggest, you know, Christian metal band at the time. I mean, you had Stryper, but you know, your guys is like your first, you know, your first real show was with Stryper, and just from there, you guys just skyrocketed.
Yeah.
And
it went pretty fast. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, so what was that like? I mean, you know, you guys, you get together and you have the, you know, you come together and you have your prayer time, and you read the word together, and you practice with your instruments, and you're like, man, we really have something. And then you guys, your first real show, you open for Stryper, and everything just takes off. You know, what was that journey like?
Well, it was really amazing. Our journey was a little more difficult because in America, Stryper was on MTV and stuff because they were signed to a secular label and we were signed to a Christian label. So we didn't get any of that kind of support in America. Mm. But it really wasn't, you know, that wasn't our main reason anyway. Our main reason was just to meet, you know, to share our faith. And so God took us to Europe, and you know, that's what we did. And I mean, there's a lot of cool stories, but we had to, when we were in America, we blazed a trail that didn't exist. So we would be playing just several, you know, different places all the time. We spent 9 months out on the road, and just in the RV and the truck and the van, with our families and the crew and everything. And we would just play any and everywhere we could along the way. And churches would come and pick at us and tell us that we were of the devil. And it was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there's still that.
Right.
You know, that's still a bias, a judgment. You know, it's, you know, Seventh-day Slumber, who I'm a huge fan of, you know, there's people, you know, they're on tour right now with Winter Jam, and there's people that are going to their shows and protesting them, and and it's just like, man, the people just don't understand. I mean, you guys are reaching an audience that 99% of pastors and churchgoers just can't reach, and, you know, that's the specific mission that God has given you guys. And you know, I've spoken with people on the podcast before, and you know, there's still churches today that they're just not on board with the Christian rock, Christian metal. Obviously, they don't you know, they don't suffer the same, you know, persecution that you did, you know, that you guys did in the 80s and early 90s. But I mean, there's still a lot of that perception that, oh, you know, this Christian metal, this isn't, you can't say this is Christian music. And it's unfortunate, but that, you know, a big motivator for why I started my own business doing concerts, and a big, you know, a big motivator for me wanting to do this podcast, was because there's so many people out there who have amazing music, amazing stories, and God is using them in a mighty way. But because they don't sound a certain way, or they don't look a certain way, then, you know, Christian radio doesn't want anything to do with them, or churches are hesitant to, you know, to let them come and play. And I'm like, man, I'm just going to bring these guys on, and let's shine a light on these people, because, you know, they deserve it. And I want to give these guys a platform, you know, not that we're a huge platform, but just another opportunity to be heard.
Yeah, well, your heart's right, and I appreciate it. And I would also want to add to that and say, you know what? I don't have a problem with those people that picketed us, or because they belong to Christ.
Right.
You know, they may be not knowing, or they may be maybe a little religious spirit. And those kind of people will always be around. They were around when Jesus walked the earth.
Right,
they were
absolutely
called Sadducees and Pharisees.
Yep.
And it was men trying to do works to please God. And, you know, that ain't going to happen. Sorry. Bible says your very best efforts are but filthy rags.
Yep. Right, right.
Now, that's not a put down, though, but he's just trying to let us know. There's no way that you can be holy except the fact that I said, be holy as I am holy. Like I said, let there be light. And so, therefore, any and everyone that follows Christ and believes in Jesus, that he came and died on a cross and rose from the dead in 3 days. They're holy. They're deemed holy. But we don't act holy because we're not capable, because we fall short.
Right. Yep.
So then, where are we then? Well, we're like the Father, the Heavenly Father, knows that we're sinners, but he doesn't look at that because of what Jesus did. So he looks at us like a father. And what father is going to do anything to their child other than just love their efforts to love him? So I think what we need to do more than anything is to love God with all our heart, all our strength, all our soul, and all our mind.
Amen.
Absolutely.
And that's what, you know, Jesus has told us what to do.
Right.
So.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, too many Christians are always trying to get inside of a room that they're already in. And I'm just going, just relax, folks. He did all the heavy lifting. Yeah, you're not perfect. You're a sinner, but you are saved. And since you're saved, be grateful.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And do what he says.
Right.
You know,
right.
And if you fail, he's already said, I will also, you know, forgive you, but I want your intention to be following me. Mm-hmm. So we don't want Christians that come and say, yeah, I got saved at that, you know, at that night. And But I, you know, it didn't change me at all. I'm just doing everything, but I'm saved. Well, maybe not, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe not. There's got to be some evidence.
Right.
You know.
Right. And, you know, it's just so awesome to see bands like your band and, you know, just the style of music. And, you know, you guys are able to get to an audience that, like Scott said, that churches can't. You know, metalheads could be hard-headed, you know. They really can. I know.
That's why they call them metalheads.
Right? Exactly. Click, click, click. Hello. But, you know, and then they see a band like yours, and it's like, wow, this is cool. So I could love God, and I could still be cool because this music exists, you know. Yeah, and
One of the other things is that we assimilated into their culture. I mean, you look at our album covers, we looked like them. You know, we looked legit, you know.
Right.
And if you didn't look legit, then you look like a hokey Christian band, you know. So so we had a calling, and we're not comparing ourselves to anybody else, but we learned, you know, there was a missionary to China named Hudson Taylor, I think was his name. And he went there with his suit and tie and everything. And, you know, he didn't do well. And then he got rid of the suit and tie and assimilated into their clothing and their culture and shared his life and shared his faith. And it turned into... Hudson Taylor was his name. Yeah, and it turned into this amazing, just millions of people coming to Christ, you know?
Wow,
that's amazing.
And, from his efforts. But he had to, you know, you have to come and sort of assimilate into a culture. And I think that that's kind of what happened with the real Christian heavy metal bands that were pros or whatever, had that, at least that awareness that the whole look is part of it.
It is.
And then, of course, the church would have a problem with that. But again, you know, bottom line is we just wanted to bring him to Jesus and let him do what he does.
Right.
And beyond that, that's all we're told to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, people at the, you know, chances are if people are, you know, if they're in church, if they're involved in church, you know, they've already heard the gospel. You know, but you guys get to do it from the stage and you're sharing it with people, you know, you're shining a light, you know, in a very dark place. And, you know, you guys are able to share that message and those people may never step foot in a church. And, you know, when we did the City Rock Fest tour last year, you know, we said the same thing. It's like, you know, this is about trying to reach people that would never step foot in a church, but show them the love of Christ and share the message of the gospel with them in a way that they can enjoy, in a way that they can understand. And I mean, and we had a great time. And, you know, those are opportunities where people will come and say, man, you know, I didn't know that, you know, Christian music was this. I didn't know that you could be a Christian and still dress like, you know, like a rocker. And I didn't know that, you know, there's so many people that will come up to you. And I'm sure you've had the same thing, you know, where people, they have this, non-Christians have this expectation that, you know, when they become a Christian, then they have to look differently. They have to dress differently. They have to, you know, they feel like they can't be themselves. And it's like, Jesus is the one who cleans us up on the inside. You know, he's not focused on the outside. He's not focused on the exterior. You know, he wants our heart. And you know, and it's amazing when, you know, bands like you guys and so many others, especially in the Christian metal community, that people see that and it's people get so fixated on the exterior and it's like, guys, that was never what Jesus was about.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, and there we are. You know, we're doing because this is temporary and we've got a kingdom that's really awesome.
Yes, we do.
And we want to bring as many in. See, everybody's bought and paid for. Everybody's bought and paid for. And
yes,
everybody belongs in Jesus's inventory. Mm-hmm. They just don't know it. So we're out really collecting what belongs to him. When we bring somebody to Christ, he's already paid for them. His blood was shed. He paid for them. He owns everyone. But not everyone wants to be owned by Jesus. Right. They want to be running their own deal. Mm-hmm. And then he has to say, well, there's only one sin I can't forgive. The Father cannot forgive, denying the one he sent. If you deny the one he sent, you're not getting in.
Yep.
You're not invited to the wedding.
Right.
So that's, you know, but boy, some horrible people have been saved by the blood of Christ and been changed and transformed.
Yep. Yeah. There's nobody is too far gone. And you can see story after story after story of just the radical change that takes place. And, you know, people who, you know, there may be Christians who are like, oh, there's no way that person's going to be in heaven, you know? And it's like, well, you know, Jesus's blood is enough to cover any sins, no matter what you've done, you know, Jesus paid for it all. And there's nobody that, you know, if you put your faith in Christ and like you said, you know, you believe that he was crucified, he died, he was buried, he rose again, you know, then guess what? It doesn't matter what you did before that. You know, you've dedicated your life to Christ and, you know, doors are open, but you know, there's sometimes, you know, there's, I heard one guy say it so good. He said, oftentimes, you know, we get so cleaned up, you know, Jesus does such a great job at cleaning us up that we forget where we came from. And so then we want to look at other people and say, oh, I can't believe that they're doing this or, I can't believe they're doing that. And, you know, we fail to remember I was that same person.
Yep.
I was doing those exact same things. I was messed up. I was lost. And Jesus found me. And, you know, so, but like you said, man, there's nothing that anybody can do that will separate them from the love of God. God will always be chasing. God will always want you. But you have to make that decision.
Yep. That's right.
If there's anything that you can share, what do you have, you know, coming up for 2024? You know, are you working on new music, shows coming up?
Yeah, we're writing and have begun recording some of the songs for the for a new album. We are going to be playing the Immortal Fest at the BMI Center in Versailles, Ohio, at the end of August. So it's Labor Day weekend. And then we may have some other tour dates, but not a lot of touring this year as much as recording and making videos. We may go to Germany, and then there's some other things on the East Coast that we might be doing, but they're not solid yet.
Thank you for everything that you've done and everything that you're doing.
Well, God bless you guys. And Lord, I just want to thank you for Scott and Tony. And I pray, Lord, that they would continue to grow in you, that you would bless their podcast and that you would bring the people that they need to be on there at the right time. And we thank you for your timing and we thank you for your concern. We thank you for everything that you do. And I pray again that you would bless this podcast in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Les, thank you so much.
Yeah,
and
thank you,
brother. We really, really look forward to talking with you again, to meeting you in the very, very near future.
Awesome. See you in Versailles.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much, man. And you have a good night.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you.
You as well.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Every tongue, every tribe and nation.